ama.
One thing that was not cultivated in communist Czechoslovakia was the art of public speaking. Anyone of a certain age will remember the endless monologues of party secretaries, but 20 years on, there is a growing awareness of the importance of public debate. Many young Czechs with an interest in politics have followed with fascination the political sparring that goes on in Britain's Parliament. And with this in mind, the British Chamber of Commerce in Prague recently organised a debate, taking the British Parliament as its model. It was the brainchild of the Chamber's James de Cando.
Well, the idea was to think of an event that would allow us to promote British parliamentary values and also to encourage the already very well-developed debating society in the Czech Republic. It seems to me that public speaking skills in whatever language, but especially in English, are very, very valuable in future life for any student. So those were the two purposes, really.
Do you think that public speaking skills may be somewhat neglected in this country, in the Czech Republic, compared, for example, with the rich tradition of parliamentary debate in United Kingdom, where you come from?
Well, yes, I thought so before we set about organising this event. But having met the Charles University Debating Society and having discovered actually quite how much debating is going on, I think probably no, it's not neglected. I mean, maybe neglected by an older generation, but it's certainly not being neglected by the generation at university at the moment.
The debate involved two celebrity speakers, both from Britain, and two Czech students who had been chosen through previous rounds of debate. The students' performance was assessed by a panel of expert judges, including the Czech Euro MP Hynek Fajmon, and with the Czech Republic's Environment Minister, Martin Bursík, also joining in the discussion. James de Candolle told me what the debate was about.
We thought it would be useful to explore a risk of freedom theme. It seemed to us on the board of the chamber that that is a theme that everyone can have an opinion on, because it is so very broad. I think also it's very topical in this country because of the role that the president is playing. I mean, it's really quite exceptional that the president of a country takes such a strong and outspoken position on a political issue. The president's position on climate change and the president's position on the Lisbon Treaty actually overlap with each other, but both fundamentally concern the issue of risk, our aversion to risk, and risk of freedom issues.
And so the motion was?
The motion was, this House believes that the application of the precautionary principle to public policy making is harmful.
In layman's terms, the precautionary principle means the principle under which policymakers place themselves under a moral and political obligation to prove that their decisions will not have serious negative consequences for the public or the environment. Opponents to the idea, like President Klaus, argue that excessive caution leads to stagnation. Nothing risked, nothing gained. While proponents of the principle often point to our responsibility towards the environment. The first to argue for the motion, that is, against the precautionary principle, was a veteran British debater, the retired general and former chief inspector of prisons, Lord Ramsbottom, who portrayed the principle as a recipe for top-heavy bureaucracy.
If I want the demonstration of how that creeping legislation has increased in paperwork, I've only got to compare the fact that the Lord's Prayer, which I'm sure you all know, contains 71 well-chosen words. The Ten Commandments is 210 words. The American Declaration of Independence is 470 words. And the European Rules on the Export of Duck Eggs is 27,460 words.
Lord Ramsbottom was answered by the well-known campaigner for open democracy and champion of environmental causes, Paul Hilder.
As David Ramsbottom has said, it would be fantasy to imagine that all risk can or should be squeezed out of human life. But it would be even more foolish to jettison a policy tool which is essential to managing some of the greatest threats to our complex societies today. The first question I usually ask when considering the usefulness of any public policy tool is whether it's worked before, and happily, The precautionary principle has a respectable record in the two great global policy processes where it has been deployed most prominently. These are the Montreal Protocol to repair the hole in the ozone layer and the decades-long journey towards consensus for decisive action against catastrophic climate change.
That was Paul Hilder. Lord Ramsbottom's arguments were backed up by Martin Dubezzi from the Masaryk University in Brno, and he was countered by his fellow student from the same university, Monika Hlavková. Here is a collage of the two in action.
What I believe should guide the public policy and what you should do if you are a government and you are actually responsible for the lives and for the safety and security of your own people, then it is not to be risky, but try to ensure the highest possible safety and highest possible level of security for your own citizens, because that is what we believe the primary role of a government. And I believe that this is particularly true in situations such as the possible harm to the environment or public health, which are irreversible effects.
We can never achieve a situation where no risk will be put upon us. There will be risk all the time. And what is the precautionary principle is doing is not solving the question of risk, but rather is saying that, okay, we will just substitute the risk.
The panel of judges then assessed the speaker's debating skills. And after about 20 minutes, they returned and declared that they had come to a unanimous decision, that Lord Ramsbottom and Martin Dubezzi had argued the better case. But Euro-MP Hinek Faimon also had words of praise for Monika Hlavková.
Monika is on good way to become good politician because she was very persuasive, which is, I think, the most important part of political quality. If you want to become politician, I think that you can be persuasive, and your speech was very good.
So after the debate, I asked both Monika and Martin if they saw a future for themselves in politics.
Well, until now I have not considered becoming a politician, but, you know, maybe you cannot tell what lies in front of you, yes.
Martin, are you considering a political career?
Oh no, please. No.
What do you plan to do in the future?
Well, I would like to work in a non-profit sector or maybe in a public sector, but not run for public office, please. I would not like to go through that.
As a prize, you're going to be taken to London, to Westminster, to see both houses of the British Parliament at work. You've seen it on television, you've seen the British Parliament functioning. What are your impressions?
What I like about the nature of the British Parliament is that there is a real exchange of argument, the two sides. We can see the clear confrontation of arguments during the Prime Minister questions, and maybe this is something different in the political systems of Central Europe.
I have a feeling that in Central Europe, the Czech Republic, that politicians sometimes tend to hide and not to confront their political opponents, and that is something pretty different in, for example, the Prime Minister's question, when you can really see that the opposition leader and the Prime Minister are having a very good argument on many issues and not hiding before each.
And finally, a couple of words from the two seasoned debaters, Paul Hilder and Lord Ramsbottom.
They were absolutely tremendous. I think Martin was robust and creative, and Monika just very, very sharp in her rebuttals. So I thought that these two young people, they'll go far, and they had a creativity and a critical intelligence, which really was world-class.
I think the liveliness, the interest, and the logic, the way they marshalled their points was, to me, something that's very exciting in people of that age and that involvement.